You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 15 April. I'm Simon Brown coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Mia Kruger, I want to touch on those LVMH results. And if you've got time, a quick question on EOH. Chatting with Chris Rule from Core Shares on why cash is not king. And then we're chatting with Stan Lib in the global local macro picture. How are we doing? Our poll yesterday, we were chatting with Martin Smith from Anchor, Capitec results, as I said, a record dividend of 16 Rand. And question to you on both our MoneyWeb and LinkedIn was, what did you take of those results? 38% of you said excellent, that was me. 32% said not bad, considering. 20% said the bad debts still worry you. And 10% simply don't like banks. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb: Bernard Mandoff, mastermind of that Ponzi scheme, died at 82. Apparently natural causes. He was old and he had been in jail since 2009 for stealing or embezzling whatever, $19 billion. CNBC: Coinbase closes at $328 a share, valuing it at $85 billion. My question, why didn't they list on their own exchange with a crypto? Morning markets, US was red overnight, S&P down 0.4, NASDAQ off 1%. Asia is green, Sydney up 0.2, Turkey up 0.1. Commodities green overnight, gold 17.39. Rand 14.40, moving stronger. And top 40, looking for a red open, about 140 points or 0.2% lower.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Kruger. She's a director at Kruger International. Mia, morning. Appreciate your time. LVMH, I mean, locally our experience of luxury is Richemont. But of course, as soon as we look global, there are others. Their results were out. Revenue's up some 32%. Organic revenue up 30%. If you told me a year ago that the luxury sector would have such an excellent period, and in truth, I suppose in hindsight, kind of makes some sense, but these are really good numbers from a sector that has bounced back strongly.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, the numbers look really good, and not only compared to last year, which was obviously the first quarter that we saw the impact of COVID in the world, where China and the East was hit first, and then countries started closing down on the back of that. We've also seen a growth in the quarter on quarter if you compare it to 2019, which was pre-pandemic, and that is over 8% growth, which is also very strong. So it's not only a case of coming from a low base, but it's actually a case of very strong numbers on the back of very strong brands. And we seem to be expecting that from all the luxury good companies in the world. I found it particularly interesting that in the East, where we've seen many of the countries open, much less COVID numbers than we're seeing from Europe and the US at this stage, the revenue actually grew 86% if we exclude Japan. So that is a staggering number. The US itself had a strong growth as well of over 23% of their revenue, but we're still seeing issues in Europe where most of their shops are closed. So yes, I think these are strong numbers that actually does show to their strongest base of clientele, which we know does come from the East. And I think this is a great indication of what we can expect from the other luxury good companies coming out in this quarter.
Yeah, I like that point. You see one and you figure to yourself, LVMH, maybe it's best breed, but we know that the others are going to come through with those really good numbers at the same point. EOH results out yesterday, once the darling of the JSE, collapsed in a heap. Is this a stock? That is sort of back on an investment radar. Has Stephen von Collier fixed it up enough, or is it something which you and your team are still skirting a wide berth of?
Well, I think, to be fair, I think that Stephen van Coller has made a big difference since he's joined just over 2 years ago. They have reduced their debt. You know, they've halved their debt to 1.8 billion. And we know they've lost massive contracts about a couple of years ago, the Microsoft contract, which was very lucrative for them. But they've come in this latest results with an operating profit of just short of 60 million. And that's after we saw a loss of over a billion the same time a year earlier. So I think they've done a lot. We know they're still focused on selling some more of their assets and reducing their debt further, but it still has a way to go, this company. If you consider the price, it is dirt cheap. It's still, despite the fact that it's actually doubled since last year, more than doubled really since last year. We saw it at a very low rate. I think it was trading at 2 rand 30 or something at a stage during the crash last year.
Yeah.
And it's now over 8 rand. I think people have made money if they had, you know, had the stamina to buy the shares down in the doldrum. But it definitely still has a way to go. So yes, watch the space. It is very cheap, so it could offer value going forward.
Yeah, and I take your point. It's not the EOH of old. It is a new EOH, and I know investors, particularly those who get burnt, sort of have long memories. But in this sense, perhaps it really is a case of, you know, it's a new company, and a long way to go still to improve itself. But it is a new company. Mia Kruger, Director, Kruger International, appreciate your early morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Chris Rule, he is Head Products and Client Solutions at Core Shares. Of course, they are one of the local ETF issuers. Chris, morning. Appreciate your time. A note you sent out earlier in the week around cash jauntlessly, I want to say cash is not king. You know, pre-pandemic, there was lots of talk. Our market hadn't done much. Lots of talk around, I was better off in cash and, you know, I wish I'd had some cash. You've done some digging actually on returns over the period, looking particularly at the win-loss ratio, and the short answer is, yeah, cash may be actually not so great.
Yeah, absolutely, Simon, and thanks for having me. I mean, we always talk about, you know, long-term investing and so forth, but I think for investors, you know, the pain of loss and the pain of underperforming cash is so extreme, that loss aversion is so extreme that they do seem to feel that cash is king. But when we look at the numbers, and as you say, we look at numbers through this win-loss ratio lens, which basically looks at every investable window. So rather than just looking at a particular point in time, which can be very selective and prone to bias and so forth, we look at every investable window period, literally on a daily basis. So as an investor, if you invested for 5 years on any given day over the last, you know, 20 years, you know, what's best off for you? And the reality is that cash is not king. And it's pretty simple. I mean, it's the reason why people who make, you know, lots of money over long periods of time are invested in shares. And, you know, people like Warren Buffett, obviously famously, you know, it says stay invested in the stock markets and stay invested in shares. And really we just wanted to highlight that there's a lot of noise in the short term. Just before the pandemic and, you know, in the early days of the pandemic, everyone who had been sitting in cash was sort of high-fiving themselves. But the reality is that they win for a very short period of time. And then, you know, equities and more risky asset allocations, they win most of the time over longer periods of time.
Yeah, and the data you got, I mean, that's what really stood out to me. You did two sets. I mean, you know, one was against a sort of a balanced portfolio, one against the top 40. I'm going to use the top 40. Truthfully, the data is better, but also because it's an index we all know. And over those 10 years, as you say, you take 5-year periods and there are going to be multiple of them in them because it's a daily process. I mean, cash wins 13% of the time. So it loses 87. But more important is that, you know, the outperformance by equity is significant. And there will be those short periods where you feel like you're the smartest kid in the room. But over the longer term, you're going to get slaughtered if you stay in cash by this data.
No, absolutely. I mean, we obviously looked at that period for this particular article. When we do our research as a business, we look at a period over 120 years. And if you look at like even longer periods, I mean, the numbers just are so consistent that cash will underperform equities over long periods of time. And as I say, this is nothing new.
Yeah.
But I think it's just important to highlight to investors that, you know, this loss aversion bias that I'm talking about is so significant. That pain of losing for investors is so significant that when they do lose relative to cash, it just hurts so much more when they win. Even if when they're winning in equities or shares, they're so much better off.
Yeah, it is. It's that loss aversion. It's also because I suspect we kind of get a sense of what cash is doing. You know, we kind of know interest rates, okay, a bit low at the moment, probably 5%. At periods over this time, there would have been higher rates. We've got that sense of what it is. If we were, for example, comparing our house or something, we don't really know what's happening there. It's that absolute number. But what I really liked is this period that you've covered as well. It includes that sort of years leading up to the pandemic when our market did do very little or very enough. You talk around the loss aversion. The other reason is often explained as that recency bias, where you've seen the market do nothing or perhaps even go down, and you're kind of like, I don't want to be there. You know, you take the short term and project it into the forever.
Absolutely, 100%. So, I mean, feeling at the moment is what's just happened. So just before COVID, as you say, South African equities hadn't really done much over the last 5 years. We feel like that's always going to be the experience. We just copy paste that for the next 20 years. We forget that in, you know, 2010, the last 5 years were, you know, staggering. And in 2007, you know, just before the financial crash, there was this huge equity bull run in the market. And take right now, for example, how many investors are jumping from the rooftops that the top 40 did 55% over the last year? You know, that's 10 years of cash return. So you've got to go a long way with cash to catch up with equities, and equities can sell off for sure. But, you know, that sell off is not going to compensate the cash investor enough so that they're going to catch up in the long run.
Yeah.
So we take this, what's happened recently, we copy paste it, and especially when it's bad. So I wish investors were copy pasting the last year, you know, and saying, let's invest in shares because the last year's been so great. But we don't feel that joy like we feel the pain in the short term when we're losing money. So, you know, it is challenging. And as I say, this is not new stuff. This is just like highlighting, say, hey guys, zoom out, look at the big picture, you know, look at the long term. Where are you best placed? And it almost moves you away from a mindset of speculation to a mindset of genuine investing. And that's what we're trying to communicate, I guess, in the market.
Yeah. And it's that also, it's that mean reversion. When you sit there and I'm saying to folks, you know, the US has had a brilliant decade. We haven't. Everyone's rushing offshore. And I'm like, be careful here. You know, when cash has won over a period, the short answer is it's not going to win over the next period. It's not going to continue. It is actually going to be the inverse as that mean reversion comes back into play.
Yeah, absolutely. There are just so many. There's so many underlying behavioral traits and that make it hard for us to just invest and stay invested. And mean reversion is a well documented kind of investment phenomenon, and it plays out time through time. So yeah, don't look at the past winners. Just pick a sensible asset allocation. If you invested for the long term, be invested in equities, be well diversified, and kind of close your eyes and forget about it. And certainly we're not punting like just buy SA equities. You know, that's not what we're saying. We're just saying, zoom out, look at the big picture, and be invested in equities locally and globally. You know, obviously, naturally, when you're retired, it becomes more complicated. When you have these short-term liabilities, when you need your income, it becomes more complicated. But most of the time when people are making these comparisons, they're comparing equities and cash and so forth, which is inappropriate in the first place. But but it seems to dominate the narrative for a lot of investors. I mean, the brass side chat was, I might as well have just been in cash, guys. I took on all this risk.
No, my granny beat me. Yeah, no, my granny in her cash account at the bank literally did beat me. And you make a great point there. There is a time for cash in our investment life. You know, as we're starting to head into retirement, as we're starting to spend, we are sort of talking here when your retirement is a plus decade away, you really don't need that cash environment at all.
But you're quite right. There's a time to hold cash or a portion of cash in your portfolio. And generally it's for investor outcomes. You know, it's for a drawdown. But we don't believe it's to try and time the market, to try and sit in cash when cash is going to perform better. You should be sitting in cash for your specific outcome.
Yeah. And then a quick last question, which is, you know, we're talking cash as an investment and what we're not talking. I mean, an emergency fund is a good idea, having some cash for that emergency, but that's a personal finance rather than an investment, which we've been talking over this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, we advocate for investors to seek out advice. And if you speak to an advisor, one of the first questions they're going to ask you is, do you have an emergency fund? Yeah. Do you have that, you know, 3 to 6 months of, you know, cash waiting for the day you get made redundant, or you know, something goes wrong, your business
pandemic,
you know,
happens. Business,
yeah, exactly. So no, we're certainly not advocating for people to forget about cash, but we're just saying, guys, focus on the long-term goals, zoom out, and here are the numbers without any bias. Have a look at them. You pick your horse now, and it becomes pretty simple at that point.
Yeah, agreed 100%. It was a great article. You'll find it on the CoreShares website. That was Chris Rule. He's head products and client solutions at CoreShares. Cash is lacquer, but turns out cash is not king.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb now with Simon Brown on The Money. Also available on podcast.
The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 32, a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Jacksonville, Florida. For more information, visit orbvest.com. Orbvest SA is an authorized financial services provider with license number 50483. The poll we're asking you this morning on both our social medias, on Twitter and on LinkedIn, chatting with Chris Rule there from CoreShares, cash is king or not, a drag on your portfolio. The question we're asking you, note you like to be invested in equity, yes, cash for opportunities, and I take that point, maybe a couple of percentage points for example, when a pandemic comes and everything gets cheap, cash for an opportunity, emergency, or perhaps that fourth option, which is, I wish I had me some more cash. Head along to our social medias, Twitter and LinkedIn, and you can have your vote there. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. and podcast available on the same website, app, or wherever good podcasts are aggregated from just after 7. Massive thanks to my team, Eddie, Cordora, Nicole, Matapelo, for you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the Money.